U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Egypt today trying to broker a ceasefire that would stop Israel's war with Hamas in Gaza. The harrowing conditions inside the Gaza Strip are difficult to comprehend, in part because cell phone and internet services often shut down. Social media feeds from residents and Gaza journalists have been an intermittent but valuable source of news. For months now, our producer Hafsa Qureshi has followed the TikTok and Instagram accounts of a dentist in Gaza, who is also a baker of delectable breads and pastries. Nasreen Shihada is 26 years old. Now her social media documents life as a displaced Gazan living in cramped quarters along the southern region of Rafah. Earlier today, we spoke with Nasreen Shihada. The line was intermittent, but we managed to talk.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Describe to me, Nasreen, exactly where you are and what's happening around you right now in Rafah.
It's been very crowded, full of people. And lately we've been hearing bombings that are becoming very close to us. We are afraid because after Rafah, we have no place else to go. We've evacuated our house from the north and now we are in the south. And there's no place left for us to go to.
And that's where you are today. So much has changed for you, Nasreen. Your house, your parents' house in the north, it's all gone. So I wonder if you can just take us back for a moment to life before October 7, before you're living amidst this danger in Rafah. You were a dentist and your husband taught accounting at the Al-Azhar University. Tell me about that.
Before all of this, I was like full of dreams, but now life somehow feels empty. It's been 4 months waiting for us, and our houses, our workplaces got destroyed, so life has been very meaningless and very vague, let's say.
We can see, Nasreen, from your TikTok videos and your Insta videos, you know, that you had a beautiful home, a kitchen, you know, lovely things that you baked with and cooked with. And now all of that is gone. I'm wondering how that feels for you, even as you say, you know, it's been 4 months of nothing. What does that loss feel like?
I think when you've been under all of this for 4 months, the kind of the trauma you've been living and you've been seeing can affect you and affect how you react to loss. Like before all of this, if a plate in my kitchen is broken, I would feel very sad and very depressed about it because I appreciate my kitchen so much and my kitchen stuff. But right now, I think I just can't process the fact that my house is gone, especially that I couldn't see it because we've been displaced in the south. So for me, it's just like a nightmare that I can't process yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're not living in a tent, though many people are, but you're sharing a small apartment with 25 of your family members. You know, that must be, on the one hand, you know, really nice that you can all be together, but it must also be really hard to not be in your homes.
Yeah, of course. Being displaced has its own hardships, especially when you have to live with other people. Like before this, I was living alone with my husband, so I'm kind of used to the quiet and calm life. Right now, I'm living in a very crowded house. I've been sleeping on the floor. We've been struggling to like get our supplies because of our large number. And, you know, we've been living together all the time. You can't get like a moment for yourself to connect with everything and to process what you've been living. Me and my family, we've been displaced 3 times now. And it's really hard to find safety. Like at any moment, your life can be literally turned upside down and you won't know where to go because literally there are no places that are left for us. And on top of all of that, we have to search constantly for life essentials, everything like water, flour and food, which can be hard, you know, because we're not used to live like this.
Mm. You know, Nasreen, it strikes me that you are a baker. You make bread. That is a staple that you know, people need to survive. And you made beautiful bread and beautiful pastries and cakes and food. How are you doing that now? Are you able to bake bread for your family at least?
As a food blogger, like, my ideal answer would be like, I enjoy baking bread, I enjoy baking pastries, and I love this. But this is like, isn't the situation right now. Like, bread is considered a luxury because of the limitations of the food supplies, and we have to bake to survive. It's as simple as this, because there's no bakeries are open right now. The flour is very limited, the water is very limited. So it isn't like an easy process, because I know that we have to bake in order to survive. Not I have to bake because this is fun and that I'm enjoying it.
And where are you getting your ingredients from? How are you actually baking? I know in your Instagram feed there's a video of baking bread in a tent, and I think most people wouldn't even be able to imagine how. Can you describe that process for us?
We've been receiving some aids from the UNRWA, UN, but I have to say that they are very limited and very insufficient. Like, most of the time we received aids once or twice a week, which only lasts us for one meal. So we had to depend on ourselves for most of our needs. But the problem is that due to the high demand and limited supply of goods, as the borders are closed, the prices in the markets are very, very high. So in a process like baking a bread, we have to be very careful with the ingredients. For instance, we can't use much yeast because yeast is so expensive and not found anymore. So the flour also, the water is the same thing. You know, everything, we have to be careful of what we are using, because we know that there isn't like enough supply of it and it's very limited. About the process of baking the bread, so usually you bake the bread in your oven, but we don't have ovens because we don't have electricity or gas. So there's this device that used to work on electricity before. It's like a small baker machine that Gazan people now turned it into something that can work on coal, so we can bake our own bread. And even coal is very limited, so we've been struggling through the whole process, and we have to make bread every day because, as I mentioned before, bakeries are closed.
Nasreen, do you talk at all about the future? Do you want to go back to baking and cooking your gorgeous baked goods and global cuisines? Because you talk in your videos about when you can move back north, but your home is in rubble. I wonder how you think about starting again.
I think as a family, we've been avoiding asking this question to each other, and we've been avoiding even talking about it because we literally don't know how the future will look like. My kitchen is now gone, so I don't think that I can think about baking and cooking where I know in the back of my head that my house is gone. But for sure, if we were allowed to go back to the north, then we will figure out something out. We can work on rebuilding again, and maybe someday, one day in the future, I'll have my kitchen, and I want to help rebuild Gaza again. I want to help rebuild our healthcare system as a dentist, and I want to make a change in my country. I don't think life can be restored immediately or can be like how it was before, but somehow we can work forward, we can work on this to make it somehow as it was before or even better. Let's hope that.
Nasreen Shehada, she's a dentist, a content creator, and a self-taught chef in Gaza. Thank you so much for talking with us, Nasreen, and stay safe.
Thank you for having me today.